Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
It was a painful 2022 for fixed income. But after last year, could this asset offer attractive opportunities and possible normalization in risk and return in 2023? If we look at Asian fixed income markets, net inflows into the region's fund industry dropped by almost half last year to some $286 billion to November 2022. This compared with the same period the previous year. But with signs of inflation peaking, some fund managers believe that we could see attractive opportunities in fixed income products. So Alvin Ong is head of fixed income at Singapore Manulife Investment Management. Let's check in with him on Asian fixed income investments and what they offer investors in this particular economic climate. Good morning, Alvin.
Morning, Michelle.
Help us understand your overview of Asian fixed income markets. What are some macro trends that you're observing?
Thanks, Michelle. And, you know, firstly, thank you so much for having me on your program. And, you know, good morning to all the listeners tuning in to Money FM. So I think regarding your question, you know, why do fixed income investments, you know, some of the macro trends we are seeing and, you know, how does it offer good investment potential in this climate? So in this context, you know, when I talk about Asian bonds, I'm referring to Asian issuers issuing US dollar denominated bonds. Mm-hmm. So two things that we have seen. Firstly, we are currently in an environment in where most central banks are at the end of their monetary policy tightening cycle, which means interest rates should have peaked or trade more stable going forward.
Right.
Secondly, the reopening of China, you know, as they exit from their strict COVID measures, but that's expected to benefit the rest of Asia due to the positive spillover from, you know, increasing trade and tourism. So as a result, you know, we believe Asia should be a primary beneficiary of this stabilizing macro environment, as its growth profile, you know, remains resilient. And, you know, the sharp repricing in yields over the past couple of years makes it an attractive asset class, providing stable income and potential for capital appreciation from a medium to long-term perspective.
Okay, let's break that down. To what extent do these bonds offer a good investment potential from what you've been tracking this year?
Sure. So I think one thing is that, you know, within Asia, we do see, you know, opportunities within Singapore dollar-denominated investments. Mm-hmm. We think it's a safe bet for investors looking for moderate but stable returns. You know, in Singapore, we are one of the 9 countries globally that's rated AAA by all 3 external rating agencies, and the only one in Asia with this gold standard. And, you know, many high-quality Singapore issuers, they have direct or indirect links to the sovereign rating. And, you know, this really underpins their stability in addition to their solid credit fundamentals. We also have a very stable monetary policy. Our Sing dollar near is currently on an appreciating bias. And this makes our currency relatively more attractive for investors, which will also in turn support, you know, Sing dollar assets, including Sing dollar denominated bonds. That said, you know, global growth is expected to slow down this year. And Singapore being an open economy is expected to moderate as well. We might see this having an impact on companies with weaker credit fundamentals. Therefore, careful credit selection will remain key in avoiding fallen angels and potential bond defaults.
Help us understand the extent to which you see China's reopening and recovery being a key driver in currency and credit markets here in Asia and ultimately fixed markets.
Sure. I would say that, you know, one of the two things that we were, you know, paying close attention to last year for the turning point in markets. So first it was, you know, weaker macro data coming out from the U.S., which meant that, you know, the Fed was had to dial back its rate hike projections, which meant that, you know, in a more stable interest rate environment. And then secondly, as you rightly mentioned, the reopening of China, as, you know, they exit from their strict COVID measures, they actually came out earlier than expected. And they also announced a slew of measures to support the property market. As a result, you know, we saw investors being more comfortable in taking more risk in Asia credits, as well as Asia bonds, as well as Singapore bonds. So I would say that that, you know, with China reopening, that is actually a tailwind for investors who are looking to, you know, take some risk in Asia, particularly Asia bonds as well as Singapore dollar denominated bonds.
Alvin Ong is head of fixed income from Singapore Manulife Investment Management. Great to have your insights on the show today. Alvin, with talks of a looming recession, can you share with us how fixed income investments tend to perform in a recessionary environment? What are your expectations?
Sure. I would say that, you know, when we look at that, you know, I think for Singapore, we aren't really in a recession. I think the government has downshifted their growth expectations. We are looking between 0.5% to 2.5% this year, which is still relatively okay. Mm-hmm. And typically, when we are in a weaker growth environment, that's when the central banks or global central bank, in particular for the MES, that's when they would kind of pull back the monetary policy tightening cycle. So at the recent policy tightening, at the recent MES policy meeting, the MES actually said that they are done with tightening, and that's on the back of 5 tightening cycles that we have seen over the past year. And in this typical environment where we have a more stable interest rates, given that most central banks are towards the tail end of their tightening cycle, and with yields repricing higher over the past couple of years, we think this provides an attractive opportunity for investors looking to put their money in bonds, particularly in Asia.
Can you share with us a little of the safe bet for investors? You mentioned Singapore dollar denominated investments. Are there other categories that perhaps our listeners could be looking at?
Sure. So I think one thing is, we manage is we have a Manulife Sing Dollar Income Strategy. Mm-hmm. And that was incepted about 7 years ago. That seeks to provide investors with income and potential long-term capital appreciation in Sing dollars by investing primarily in Singapore and Asian U.S. dollar investment-grade bonds. The U.S. dollar bonds are hedged back into Sing dollars, so the strategy's FX risk is actively managed. And we try to keep it to a minimal level. We have a maximum of 10-30% in high-yield bonds to potentially enhance the returns, but the overall strategy is still high quality. Average quality is still investment grade. The strategy has a duration range from 0 to 5 years, and our team is very active when it comes to interest rates management. And this strategy is quite popular with investors who hold Sing dollars, want to receive regular income in Sing dollars, and want to invest in Asia U.S. dollar bonds, but with a focus on Singapore. So if you're looking for something that, provides a potentially stable income stream and, potential capital appreciation while taking a little bit of risk, then we think a Manulife Sing Dollar Income Strategy should sit nicely in your investment portfolio.
All right. Well, thanks for that. We know that there are many choices for investors. And in terms of the best type of fixed income investment, that's really going to depend on individual circumstances, risk tolerance, lots of options, bond funds, high yield bonds, floating rate bonds, inflation protected bonds. What do you think retail investors want to get started investing in this asset class need to keep front of mind?
Sure. So I'll say that for retail investors, we advise not to put all your eggs into one basket. Typically for most corporate bonds, if it's a Sing dollar bond, the minimum amount that you have to invest is typically $250 Sing dollars. Or if it's an Asian US dollar bond, that's $200,000, which is quite a huge sum for most people. Mm. And that might be someone's entire life savings. And there's also a risk the bond might default. To do proper credit research, it could be quite a lot of time, effort, resources. And most people do not have the expertise. So I would advise that, for investors who want to put their money to work in bonds or fixed income, you probably want to put it in a mutual fund where typically the team will have dedicated fixed income professionals, dedicated portfolio managers, traders, and credit analysts who monitors the bonds 24/7. And bond funds typically have a diversified portfolio, so that concentration risk is much lower. And I think retail investors can definitely participate, as most mutual funds, they typically only require a minimum amount of $1 Sing dollars.
All right. Well, share with us your outlook on Asian bonds for the longer run, perhaps, Alvin.
Sure. So as mentioned earlier, we are currently in an environment where, most central banks are at the end of their policy tightening cycle, which means interest rates should have peaked and trade more stable going forward. As mentioned earlier, the reopening of China as they exit from their strict COVID measures is expected to benefit the rest of Asia as well. And most countries within the region is also, reopening and global and global supply chain diversification. And most ASEAN economies in particular have the added advantage of favorable demographics and consumption trends. As a result, we believe Asia should, benefit from this as well. I think in terms of key risks, investors should take note of ESG risks. Mm-hmm. ESG is the consideration of environmental, social, and governance aspects alongside traditional financial management factors throughout the whole investment decision-making process. We've seen countries such as China, Korea, Japan, and even Singapore have pledged to achieve net zero carbon levels by mid of the century. And we think that represents interesting opportunities, such as companies that are able to transit and pivot to a low carbon business model. The transition to net zero provides a significant opportunity for developing new low carbon products and services. But that's it. Companies that are not able to pivot to a more sustainable business model might find themselves obsolete.
And before we let you go, Alvin, speaking of risks, we ask all our analysts this ahead of next week, perhaps. There's been flirtation with this idea of a debt default over in the U.S. Do you think the debt ceiling dispute raises the risks for U.S. bonds?
I would say that it's an ongoing risk that the team is monitoring. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we are trying to manage the risk is we are making sure that we don't hold any short-term U.S. Treasury bills that's looking to mature within the next 2 to 3 weeks to make sure that we avoid this risk. But that said, there's also other opportunities out there. We are looking at within Singapore. There is also short-term instruments like the MAS bills where you can also manage liquidity. So, yes, it's a risk that we are watching, but there are ways to actually manage it.
Great to know. Thank you for joining us this morning, Alvin. He's Alvin Ong, Head of Fixed Income from Singapore Manulife Investment Management.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.